Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, as I've already mentioned, I'm going to start a new series of sermons entitled Building a Culture of Honour. It's based on a book by Danny Silk, which is titled A Culture of Honour. Bill Johnson, thank you. He's on the staff of Bill Johnson's church in Redding, California. And it is part of the culture of that particular church. And as I was away tramping around the Richmond Ranges, which is about what I'm going to do, I'm going to build out of here after the service is over. So if I don't actually have a big conversation with you, it's my apologies. Well, not really. I'm heading for the hills. Just for overnight. Actually, pray for me. I'm going to be with three other clergy. They're all friends. Anyway, as I was wandering around in January and I was sort of sorting out in my head by what I'd do in terms of preaching this year, it just seemed to me that this would be a subject that would do as well to consider. A culture of honour, building a culture of honour. It may sound like kind of a strange and unusual title for a sermon series, but it is important. Now, just a little warning, there's not too much of a story today. Come next week, you'll get the story, because the whole address is just about entirely a story. But just as an aside, you know, to honour someone is to acknowledge their worth and value and all that they contribute to life and to the community. However, in New Zealand, we aren't really good at doing this. Now, we do it for public figures. Well, we sort of do. It depends on whether they're your political flavour or not, I think, but as to how much honour you might extend. But we kind of, you know, and we have football halls of fame and all that kind of jazz. But I'm talking about something that is far more fundamental than this. Indeed, as a nation, we have made a pastime of knocking tall poppies down. And this is a tragedy, as it belittles the value of our contribution to the community in which we live. Developing a culture of honour is perhaps the most important principle in building healthy relationships within the Christian community. Yet it may well be the most underestimated value in the church. You see, as a nation, we live in a culture of fear. The sad truth is that there is more fear in our community than trust and openness. I've had cause over the last fortnight to talk with a range of people around, both within the church and outside it, just testing this out. And my conclusion was, as it set out to be, I don't know whether that's a good or bad informed analysis or not, but it is. We live in fear all the time. You know, as youngsters, most of us can remember we went out without even locking the door. Remember that? There was a time when you could give somebody a handshake and it actually meant something. Now, if it's not written up in cast iron, and even then you're not sure what the outcome's going to be. The Bible makes it clear that love casts out fear. It would also be safe to say that love creates a platform where the value of honour is most visible. Too often our lives are marked by attempts to make us feel good or to justify why it's okay to feel bad about ourselves. As a nation, we struggle with depression and general pessimism that knocks our confidence and self-worth. This is also sadly in the church and in the way we deal with our differences. So this series will help us face this and find another way to grow in our relationships at home and the community and between us within Holy Trinity. Now within this there are two words that are really important. One I've already mentioned and another one, and they are honour and grace. When we honour, we seek to put love into action by viewing each person as one of God's creations worthy of great respect value and importance. You've heard me say before, and I've tried to work this out in my own life set of values. John Maxwell, I think it was, or it's Henry Cloud, talk about the fact that whenever they meet someone, they mark them a 10 out of 10. Because you see, you are fully able and capable. You are of immense worth. I know that because God created you. And He created you in His image. So I know that what He made was good. Because somebody was reminding me last week, God doesn't make junk. You are of immense value. Paul wrote, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." And then the second word that underlines this is grace. When we honor one another, our words will be filled with grace and encouragement, speaking to the treasure within a person and not exposing their faults. You see, the thing is about when you give people full credit for being who they are, you're actually also recognizing that within them there is this extraordinary richness of person. Each of you carries a treasure. I know that because your Father in heaven put it there. But we forget this, and often because we have been so devalued and dishonored, we have learnt to doubt, and then we end up justifying why it is okay not to feel good about ourselves. Now Paul wrote this, "When you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger." Now I do know some people say, "Well, I got to tell them their faults, otherwise they'll never become strong." And of course nobody would admit to that here, would we? But that is not what this is talking about. Sure, in conversation, we talk about the tough stuff. And where there is a culture of honor, where there is a deep respect and value, then the person receives that as knowing that. I was talking to Claudia on Skype the other day, and she's just written her first novel, and I'm proofreading it. And I made some comment, and she said, "Because it is you, and you know me well, I can receive what it is that you have just said." And I just received that as just an extraordinary gift. You see, if we want to create a correction, ensure that there is trust before you speak. Remember when I did the relationship series, Living Together with Us, Living Below with the Saints We Know last year? That's one of the things I made. If you want to create a correction, ensure trust exists so that when you make it, that there is relationship enough in order to sustain what's going to go on and be said. Then, says Paul, what you say will do good to those who will listen to you. Honor involves a decision to put love into action, to give a person value and worth. Even if someone has disappointed you, hurt you, wounded you, honor chooses to make a decision not to respond in the same way. No matter what is felt coming from the other person, honor chooses not to expose this, but speak words that give life and health to the hearer. I've been thinking about this a lot. As Newton observed, to every action there is always an equal and opposite reaction. And I've come to understand that this is true also of the way we speak. What I say, even in private, of another person has a reaction that is equal to the attitude that we have had. We might think that because we're on our own, then it's okay because no one else hears or sees. But I've come to understand that no matter how well we might try hiding that in the privacy of our own space and maybe head, it seems to somehow fall out. You know, it's like, you may not do this, but I've met wonderful people who do, who use word associations to remember names. And if you happen to her name was Daisy, and you remember you had a cow called Daisy, it could be rather serious, couldn't it? And he said, "Morning, cow." I mean, but people who do things by word association tell me that they actually have done that. I have avoided doing that because I have decided the danger is not worth the risk. But you see, what we think and say spills out. A life of critical judgments produces a fruit of criticism, but a life that honours produces honour. Honour views each person as a precious gift of God's creation and grants them a position that is worthy of great respect. The church is, or should be, a place of freedom, respect, empowerment, and healthy discipline, not punishment. Tragically, it is often not the case. If we set out to build a culture of honour, it will challenge us and change us. It is about bringing the best out of each other without denying our struggles. So over the next several weeks, we'll explore a kind of recipe. The ingredients in this recipe are a set of beliefs and practices. The steps in this recipe combine these ingredients in such a way that they create something powerful, an environment, and this environment is a culture of honour that attracts and welcomes the presence of God. In the Ten Commandments, when God speaks of honour, He promises us a long life for honouring our mums and dads, our parents. This command reveals an important principle. Life flows through honour. Honour creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. The key is accurately acknowledging who people are. We can only do this when we recognise their God-given identities, their God-given richness, the God-given gifts that they possess and all who they are. This is what we see in the statement of Jesus: whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person receives a righteous person's reward. Names and titles are important: mother, father, son, daughter, apostle, prophet, Christian, human being. Such names, when used correctly, define who we are and what we do. They show us that God designed relationships so that specific rewards are given and received to build and strengthen us. A culture of honour is created when, as a community, we learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identities. Therefore, we will explore some of the names that will help build our relationships and grow our community. And it will be these relationships that will attract and maintain, as I've suggested, the presence of God's power and presence in our midst. And we will learn that the names apostles, prophet, pastor, teachers, evangelists, that their distinctive roles and gifts create a network of relationships that are intended to bring the focus and priorities of heaven to here on earth. You see, and I've said this before and I won't tire of saying it, because somehow we are so resistant at really embracing this. You're all kind of like glorious jeweled cogs in God's kingdom. And we're made to fit together in order to fulfill His task and destiny. No man is an island, as someone once said, and someone will tell me who it was later. But it's true. We so desperately need each other, and whether you like it or not, you need us. You need the people around you. You cannot do this stuff on your own, which is why when relationships break down, it becomes such a crisis, because things start falling apart in the way in which God intended it to be. So into each of us, into this, each of us has an identity that is really important, that's given by God, but too often it's buried by our choices or how the forces of life have affected us. In a culture of honour, leaders lead by courageously treating people according to the names God given them, and not according to the aliases they received. We will learn how to treat each other as free sons and daughters, not as slaves, as righteous, not as sinners, as wealthy, not as poor. We will acknowledge God's identity as good, as love, as shalom. Where God is so honoured, His presence is truly welcome. This will build a place that is both safe and free. Such safety and freedom will grow as His presence grows, and as the sense of His presence grows, we will develop ways to help us build an alive and vibrant Christian community. And I just notice this across the church kingdom, how unsafe it so often is. And we need to change that. We need to change it in ourselves. The end effect of a culture of honour is its extension of the kingdom of God into the wider community about us, creating ways for our neighbours and friends to experience the life that is flowing among us. And as we've said, life flows through honour. The clear fruit of establishing a culture of honour is that the life of God will flow into people's lives, homes and communities, bringing healing, restoration, blessing, joy, hope and wholeness. So my prayer is that you'll join me on this journey, and that you'll wait with anticipation to hear the story I will tell next week. Father, we thank you that you love us just so much, that you honoured us by making us a little lower than the angels, higher than the angels, that you pour your life into us. Help us, Lord, to learn to choose to honour one another, to treasure the gift that each of us carries, and build one another up as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.